Hey, how's it going, everybody? So today we've got a pretty fun episode, and it's, I guess, a little bit different than we've been doing lately.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite groups that we work with. So we are talking to Nikki Reck with Pima Animal Care Center down in Tucson. She is their public information officer. How are you doing, Nikki?
Good. We are still very busy. You wouldn't even know that there's a pandemic, honestly.
Oh, that is awesome to hear. So we've worked with PAC before, getting the foster dogs out into parks and on trails so that, you know, it just kind of gets them out into the world where people can see them and adopt them.
That's a really cool program, actually.
Yes, like, it is.
We ran into that guy down at Catalina State Park. We were down there doing some, like, Instagram stories or lives or something, and he had one of the rescue dogs, a really cool pit bull, and she was a sweetheart.
Oh, my gosh. I loved that dog. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
She was really cool. And I think she did get adopted. I'm not sure, but
she
did.
Lots of kisses.
She did, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, how has that program been good for those foster dogs, Nikki?
It is amazing because we always tell people any time out of the shelter is really good for any shelter pet because – you know, you're stuck inside. I mean, and think about how we feel in quarantine, you know, like we're doing our best. Sometimes you got to get out, you got to go hike, put on your mask, you know, you need to just get out of the house. The same thing is, you know, can be applied to pets, especially dogs. They tend to want to be outside and having fun and doing fun things. And, you know, we used to have a program where people could check out dogs kind of like library books and get them out of the, you know, bust them out of a kennel for a few hours or a few days. But we had to put it on hold due to the pandemic. So this program specifically with foster dogs here at the shelter is great because we're able to get them out and have some fun, get some fresh air and give them a chance to, you know, use their bodies and really get excited and get some exercise. And then the best part is when you go home, they sleep so hard because they have had such an adventure. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Well, yeah. And I think it's awesome for not only the mental well-being of the people taking care of them, but also the animals so that when they come in to get adopted, they're putting their best foot forward. They're in a good mood and they've been socialized even more for people.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
That's another wonderful aspect. We always tell people that pets and foster care or pets who've been in, you know, out on these little excursions, if you want to call them that, they tend to be happier and healthier and just in a better mood, so to say. They're not as grumpy because they've had a chance, like you said, to get out.
Yeah, that's awesome. This was something that I was really passionate about because I've rescued dogs, I've fostered dogs, I've picked up stray dogs and found their owners and all that good stuff. And you have a little bit of experience with that too, don't you, Neil?
Yeah, I do actually. And we were talking a little bit off air, you know, before the podcast. We actually found a dog out in the desert, like out in the middle of nowhere.
And stuff like that happens, especially if you're out hiking with your dogs and, you know, maybe a horse is on the trail and spooks them and they run off. I mean, it can happen.
Oh yeah, it can. And, you know, we learned a lot from this encounter. I mean, we had, actually recently lost a dog. My old, bird dog had died.
Oh, I've heard about bird dog.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That was a rough patch. But, so anyways, we found this dog. I was out hiking with a couple of my daughters and he just started following us around all day. He had some cactus in him. I took it out, you know, and he just followed us around. And then, when we got back, we had him scanned for microchips, you know, and had him put on a list for people that lost dogs, you know, and we did put a lot of effort into finding his owner. But I guess the law in Arizona is you get to keep him after 7 days if you're taking care of him and looking for the owner. But does that happen a lot, Nikki? I mean, are the people finding dogs out in the desert a lot? I didn't know if this was like an isolated incident or what.
Well, we typically take in, you know, a high amount of strays pretty much every day. In a normal operational day at PAC, it can be anywhere from 25 to 50 to 100 animals coming in. And most of those are strays. Out of the 20,000 or so that we take in every year, at least half, maybe more, you know, are stray pets. So we always encourage people, especially if they take their dogs on hikes and things like that, to make sure that they have a microchip and make sure that microchip has a functioning phone number applied to it, because I can't tell you how many times we've found a microchip only to call the number and to realize it's not a working number. And updating those things is free. You literally just Google free pet microchip registry, and there's a couple of websites that can help you do that. And, you know, if your dog doesn't currently have a microchip, you definitely want to put a collar with a tag with, again, a working phone number on there to make sure that if they slip out of your hands or they get spooked, that they have some sort of identification, because unfortunately here at the shelter, you know, there's a limited stray hold. You know, if they have a microchip with a working phone number, it's 5 days. If they only have a collar tag, or they don't have any, if they don't have any information, rather, it's only 3 days. So we've seen people's pets get adopted, and we've reached out to the new adopters to say, hey, you know, the adopters found them, you know, it took them a while, but, you know, could you give them back to the original owner? And they don't have to legally do that.
Oh,
and
in
some cases, oh, that sounds so hard. I just can't imagine. I mean, on both sides, I just can't imagine losing your dog, finding out they're in a good home, or adopting a dog and finding out they had a good home. I just don't. That breaks
rough.
My heart.
I know.
It's such a tough place to be in for both the owners and the new owners. So that's why we try to tell people to not let this happen to them, and don't put yourself in this situation. So make sure that, you know, all of your information is up to date. It's
especially
very
when it's so
easy.
Yeah, like it can save you all of that heartbreak just by making sure your phone number is correct.
Yeah, taking a few minutes to make sure everything's right, you could eliminate all those problems.
Yeah.
And that's why we always recommend a microchip. When in doubt, microchips. We have had pets come in and their owners are here in 10 minutes because the microchip is up to date, the phone number is accurate, and the owners, you know, are already on their way by the time we call them.
That's
the easiest solution on the pack. We do a lot of free microchip registries and, I'm sorry, microchip clinics. So we haven't been able to do as many due to the pandemic, but we are still doing them and still trying to find creative ways to keep pet owners safe and still do these kind of clinics.
Oh, yeah.
But when in doubt, you know, if you want to save a little money, it's a great investment.
Definitely. And that's a really good lead-in, because you guys have a lot of, I know that the pandemic has obviously interfered with a lot of normal day-to-day operations from you guys to us, and everybody's feeling it, of course. So you guys have a lot of programs, and you've shifted over to kind of accommodate that. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so during this difficult time, we've been trying to figure out how can we help pet owners, because, you know, pet owners in crisis might have to make some difficult decisions, and we're trying everything to make sure that that doesn't happen. So thanks to a couple of grants and thanks to some donors, we've been able to put several programs in place, like our food drive. Several times a week, you can get free pet food, a 1 gallon Ziploc bag full of food, cat or dog or puppy or elderly, depending on what we have available. And you can get it as often as you need it. This is not something that we're judging. We're not keeping tabs. You know, if you just need a bag to get through the next paycheck, we're here to help. And we know that it's happened. You know, people have told us, hey, I lost my job. You know, I was thinking about having to give up my pet, but because I was able to do this program for a couple of weeks until I could get another job, I was able to keep him.
Oh my
God. And so that just makes our heart so happy. Our hearts are full because these pets are staying with the owners that love them. And another program that we've been really proud about is our medical outreach program. And basically, if you qualify, and that means it's not something very serious, so no cancer treatments, no valley fever stuff, no major medical issues, but things like, you know, allergies or ear infections or urinary tract infections, things that aren't surgical, so no dentals, but minor medical care, we've been able to take care of that for many, many pet owners since the beginning of the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, these programs they're amazing. I mean, I think a lot of people just don't know they're out there, and they feel hopeless and lost when things happen with, you know, losing their jobs or having a sick pet or something. But it is so good to know that there's programs like this out there, and I'm excited to help spread the word about it. I mean, we'll definitely links. Yeah, we're going to throw some links in the show notes. And I'm just
excited. And that there are people like you that are so, we're really passionate, but obviously it's not our career. So it's so good to know that there are passionate people inside facilitating these programs. And that's, I mean, food and medical outreach, that's huge, but it's not even all you guys do.
No. And like another COVID program that's kind of developed is, it's called Safety Net Fostering. And so for some people who, due to the pandemic, have lost their homes, and they don't have anywhere to take the pet because they're crashing on a friend's couch and the friend is allergic to dogs or cats, you know, we've been able to find someone to foster that pet until they could get on their feet. I mean, personally, I have one right now in my house that I'm taking care of. He's a little guy, and you know, I'm trying to get him back to his mom, and we're keeping in touch and making sure that everything is still going smoothly. And just last, well, I guess it was New Year's Eve, during that day, a family was able to be reunited with their pets after the cats had been in foster care since September because she was hospitalized for a heart attack. So, I mean, we're really trying to keep pets with people that love them. So, you know, if you can't foster, if you can't be a safety net foster, you know, consider making a donation to our group, Friends of PAC, our official nonprofit partner, so that we can continue to do things like this. And, you know, people ask us, like, well, why do you care about the owned pets? Like, shouldn't you only care about the stray pets since that's what your job is as a municipal shelter? And for us, if we can keep them from turning into a pet at the shelter, it is absolutely serving our purpose. And honestly, the cost per day to take care of a pet in shelter is significantly more than just giving someone a bag of dog food to make it to the next paycheck. You know what I mean? So we're trying to find creative solutions and use taxpayer dollars in a way that makes sense and helps save lives at the same time.
Oh, that's awesome. So you mentioned that people can donate to Friends of PAC, which we'll put a link in the show notes for that as well. What else can they, how long do they donate food? How do they, you know, help you guys if they're in a good position to be able to help?
Yeah, I mean, if they're in a great position, that's awesome. The best thing is really just donate to Friends of PAC. That way we can use as needed for whatever program at the moment. But if you're someone who wants to donate a physical item, you can drop them off in our large blue donation bins. They are outside our main gate, so they're accessible 24 hours a day. You know, maybe you work nights and you've got the bag of dog food in your car. Swing by, drop it off on your way home after work. It's going to be open. It's here. Or, you know, you can buy something on our Amazon wish list. And have it mailed directly to the shelter. So that's another way to do a financial donation without actually, you know, you don't have to even leave your couch, you know. Like, you can just make an impact without having to do any real work, which is kind of cool.
And you're saving lives. You know, if you're donating. I mean, not only the animals, you know, but the people. Because it is, it's so hard. Like, I can only imagine if you're in a place where you think that you have to get rid of a pet. You know, just imagine the the mental anguish of somebody that you really attached to this thing. You're like, oh my God, I can't take care of it.
And like to take that weight off of their shoulders when they're already dealing with everything else. I mean, I think we've all learned this past year to kind of shoulder additional weight. And that is something that is just, that would take such a weight off. That's amazing.
You know, there's this stereotype that people who surrender their pets just don't care about them and they are dumping them off. And while that does happen, unfortunately, the majority of people who have to surrender their pets are in absolute tears because they have no other options. But that's why we've been trying to be so creative with these programs, because we know that people don't want to surrender their pets. We know that they don't want to lose them because they love them. And if they're, you know, being taken care of and there's nothing, no sort of cruelty or neglect, there's no reason for us to even interfere with what's going on. So, you know, I think that this pandemic has really showed people that we all struggle, you know, and that we all need to give each other a little bit of, you know, understanding, especially since some situations have been so difficult. I mean, it just, it's heartbreaking. It really is. And if we can put an end to that, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to change the world here at PAC, you know, with one pet that stays with their owner at a time.
I imagine somebody coming in where they're at a low point in their life and they thought they had to surrender this pet, and then they learn about these programs. I mean, that's just the feeling you would get as a, you know, I guess as a person, a representative telling those people and seeing the excitement on their face and knowing that you'd basically saved the relationship with their pet. I mean, I can only imagine how that feels to be that representative. It's pretty awesome.
Well, and I live down in Tucson.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I lived down in Tucson for a while. Neil likes to call it my sabbatical when I lived in Tucson.
Came back.
And I mean, like, everyone I talked to could not speak highly enough of PAC. I mean, you guys really are such a pillar in the community for pet owners and for, I mean, everybody in the community knows who you are and knows that you're a good organization. And that was really a big deal to me when I was looking to get dogs out on trails, rescue dogs and stray dogs, because you guys really are. You guys do a great job, and the pandemic has definitely shown that.
And they're innovative, you know, all these programs. I mean, you got to innovate if you... The bottom line is they don't want as many pets coming in to see them.
Right.
You
know? Yeah, exactly. It is really cool that you guys were able to kind of bend with the times and show, like, how do we still help our community in these times that aren't normal for us?
Right. I mean, and that's the beautiful thing about animal welfare. It's changing. And we're trying to lead that change, because people are like, well, if pets aren't coming in, won't you guys not have a job? And I'm like, no, we still have a lot of work to do to help the pets and people of Pima County. So if less pets are coming in, that just means we can focus more on programs like these and, you know, create new ones that we don't know we need yet.
Oh, yeah.
And you said 20,000 come in every year?
Yeah, you know, in a normal year, COVID's a little different. But, you know, the last 2020... it's probably going to be a little bit lower. We're still working on the end of year stats, mm-hmm. but the year before it was 20,000. It was just under 20,000.
In just Pima
that's
County.
That's a lot of animals.
Yeah, that's a ton of animals. That was more than I thought. I think maybe I just didn't really think about it.
It's a 90% save rate. So we're saving lives. And the only pets that ever face any sort of difficult decision around here are ones that, you know, they're medically suffering and there's nothing that we can do to help them. And it's really causing them more injury to keep them in that state, or if they're deemed too dangerous to be adoptable. And those numbers are kind of low compared to, like, you know, it's 90%. And at one point in the pandemic, we had a 93.7%. And we were really, really excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think this has been an eye-opener for
Definitely.
Me. I mean, I didn't know all these programs were out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I'm hoping the listeners, if they need to, can take advantage of something like this. You know, there's groups out there like PAC that want to help.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think it's awesome, and I'm glad we had a chance to partner with them and, you know, talk to you today, Nikki. It was really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going
to
draw...
I'm always happy to talk about our programs. So if anyone wants to, you know, talk to me about them, send them my way. I'm happy to help. We're really proud of the work we're doing here.
I'm really proud of the work you're doing.
Thank you.
And we're going to make sure that we drop, like, resources in the show notes, too. So pima.gov/adopt if you're interested in adopting a pet, cats, dogs, all that good stuff. And pima.gov/foster if you want to be part of the Safety Net program or be a foster for those rescues that come in. Is there anything
please.
Else you want out there, Nikki?
And just to remind people, you know, if they want to make a donation to help these programs, it's friendsofpac.org.
Friendsofpac.org. Okay, and we'll make sure that link is in the show notes as
For
well.
Sure.
Awesome. Yep.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much, Nikki.
It.
This was great. I'm so glad that we got to talk to you.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right,
yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You. Hey guys, thanks for listening today. And if you enjoyed what you heard, we'd like to talk with you more.
Yeah, definitely. So we have a really cool group on Facebook that you can join. It's called Explore AZ State Parks. And we talk about hikes. Me and Neil are in there on our personal accounts talking to people and giving tips and all that good stuff.
There's a lot of cool stuff on there.
Definitely. And there's a few other things you can do too to help us out.
Well, you can subscribe to the podcast.
Oh, yeah. If you like the episode, you definitely want to make sure that you know when the next one's coming out.
Could probably share it with your friends.
Share it with your friends. And I would even go so far as to ask them for a review, Neil.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Randy. We'd love for you to review our podcast.
Yeah. So there's like this little button where there's like 5 stars. We'd love to see 5 stars on there.
That'd be great. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks.